Well, do you celebrate Mexican Mother's Day? Because I know that's
that
big
was yesterday.
Down here.
Oh, okay. Yeah. No, I told her we're in a goddamn America. we're gonna speak goddamn American, and you get your presents on Sunday, and I didn't get her any presents, but I gave her a baby free day. So like I took
baby
her
best, free
best gift of all.
Yeah.
Welcome to the DL Gaming Podcast, where we take the PC out of PC gaming. I'm Bobby.
I'm Mender's Logic.
And, oh boy, we got a lot to talk about today, although it seems like it. I'm excited because I had a pretty good week gaming. You know, before we do that, I almost forgot. Shout out to our new patron, Livingston. Thank you so much. And also, we had three people upgrade their patronage. I don't know if that's
sure
the right word.
That'll work.
Their patronage, Days Lotion and Trashzilla. Thanks so much, guys.
Thanks, guys. That's awesome.
Yeah. And I believe that puts us at $26 away from our next goal, which is VR. So we're getting very close. I felt like we were close last month.
Yeah, because when I looked, it said $25, but I think there's a difference between where our money's at and then our actual payouts. I think that's because they have to take care of their cut.
Well, it's what our patron page says.
Yeah. Yeah.
We might have lost some last month, too. But
bastards. Traitors.
Yeah, update those credit cards, guys. Because sometimes that happens, like, if it'll try to build.
The majority of the people we lose is usually because they, you know, switch cards and then didn't re-up.
Yeah.
Or maybe they're just trying to be polite. You know, it's worth. It's better than the embarrassment of leaving if they just cancel their card or whatever, you know.
Yeah.
They won't actually see.
But thank you so much, guys.
Yeah.
So I'm excited to talk about some games, the games that I've been playing this week. Last week was May the 4th, the unofficial Star Wars holiday. However, this year, it felt very official.
Yeah.
Like, it was, first of all, Disney released Rise of Skywalker on Disney Plus, and this is my first year on social media, and it's just all over social media. Just Star Wars everywhere you look on social media. So it really felt like an official holiday for me, and I really wanted to play some Star Wars games. And I dabbled in quite a bit here, and what I ended up doing. So let's just start from the beginning here. Battlefront 2, the original one, 2005, there was an update to that game on Steam and EA Origin where you can now play, or you can now find multiplayer servers. So there's now an online community of people playing Battlefront 2 from 2005. Very popular game back in the day.
Yeah, I remember.
I thought, okay, great, let's check that out. Hopped in. It's just like it was, but it's pretty rough. You know, the graphics are pretty dated. The text is super tiny because of the resolution.
Yeah.
And, you know, the gameplay, even back then, I don't think it was anything special. You just kind of run around and shoot people. And
Why do you think it was so popular? Maybe just because
it was 2005. What else did we have to play? But you do try to take locations, and there are opportunities to have some really fun moments in the game. But I don't know. It just didn't hook me in the first 5 minutes, so I quickly gave up on it. After that, I thought, you know what? I was very close to beating Jedi Outcast, and I figured I should really finish that up. I think it was from last March, or maybe it was March a year ago. I can't remember. Time has no bearing for me anymore. But I did end up finishing that. I finished it on stream. A couple people were watching. And during that stream, I actually stopped playing Jedi Outcast, and I loaded up Jedi Knight.
Real quick, Outcast, who's the last guy? Who's the last bad guy?
It starts with a V. Vashon, Varon, I can't remember. I'll look it up. It's a lizard guy. I really don't care for the story too much in Jedi Outcast. Also, the way they did the force powers in that, not very interesting because they just kind of give you the force powers as you move along the game. It's not like Jedi Knight where you get to choose them. So I don't know. I don't like Jedi Outcast as much. And it's super long. The first time I played that game, it took me 25 hours to beat.
Jeez.
Yeah. And this time I played it on hard, the hardest difficulty. And if you were watching my stream, you know that I was basically quick saving and quick loading, just rapid fire. Just like, nope, died there again. Nope. All right, here we go.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite little quotes from Yahtzee's Zero Punctuation. Many years ago, he was reviewing some game. I can't remember which, and he said it's the kind of game where you have to bind quick save and quick load to the left and right mouse button.
Mm.
And yeah, that's kind of what my experience was with Jedi Outcast. But during that stream, I stopped playing it for a while because some people were watching, and I said, you know what? I'm going to show you guys what I was talking about on the last podcast, the levels and the mods that I made.
Yeah.
And oh man. So I showed off my level.
How were you able to like find them?
I still have them. I still have them.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
But my level, so I mean, I was showing everyone the secrets of it. And in my level, there's parts where I had done voice recordings and put it on certain panels. So you can hear like, 15, 16 year old me talking in the game. It was pretty funny.
Where are these clips?
Well, you gotta
watch
the stream.
We have an audio medium.
You gotta watch the stream, man. And they were recorded way too low.
Boo.
But I burst out laughing, not during the stream, but beforehand when I had first loaded up my my mod.
Yeah.
Because it is so edgy, dude. It is so like edgy teenager, man, just trying way too hard to be cool.
Right.
So I loaded it up, and first of all, the mod's called Killer.
Ooh.
Yeah.
What kind of things were you saying, by the way? Like what would the panel say?
There were quotes from the level was based off of 1984, the book. Okay. So there were quotes from that book.
Okay.
So when I loaded up the mod, I forgot that you can change basic things about it, right? So you can change the text that it shows in the main menu. So I changed multiplayer to annihilate.
Wow. Because
that's cool.
Very cool.
I changed quit to scram. You know, it was very Duke Nukem, right?
Yeah.
Like Wolfenstein when you choose the levels, like Hurt Me Plenty or when you choose to leave, it calls you a coward or something. It was super edgy, man. And it was fun to experience that live on stream. But some of the cool parts about it, people got to see my Space Ghost skin that I had created. Very Ooh. Proud of that one. And also I had created lightning lightsabers. So Ooh. Lightsabers that looked like crackling lightning.
That's pretty sweet.
Yeah. In 1997 graphics though. So, yeah. I mean, not
take it for what it is.
Yeah. Not super blown away here, but still it was a great time.
So listening to yourself say like, oh no, they're watching us here.
Yeah. It was pretty ridiculous, but I will say, man, like Dark Forces 2 Jedi Knight, I posted this on my Twitter. I found a fantastic application called Jedi Knight Remastered that basically does all the work for you. It only worked for me with the GOG version of the game though. But I downloaded this Jedi Knight Remastered. There was like a PDF with some instructions, like 5 steps, but basically you just run an installation program and it installs all the high res textures, puts them in the right spot, all the updates, everything that you need, makes it super easy. And the game has never looked better. It changes it to 32 bit from 16 to 32 bit. And I don't really know like technically what that means, but the lightsabers had this glow to them. Same thing with the blaster bolts. Like it was really in the lighting that I noticed the difference. The textures looked a lot better. But definitely the lighting, like it looked more like Jedi Outcast or maybe even Jedi Academy.
I'd explain the difference in bits, but, you wouldn't understand.
Yeah. We don't want to get too technical on our listeners here too. But yeah, I mean, Jedi Knight is still such a great game. And if you're not following me on Twitter, RobertDigital83, you can see my post about that. And someone had responded saying like, that's a great game, but I think Jedi Outcast 2 is better. I disagree. I respect your opinion, but I totally disagree after finishing Outcast. But I will say Outcast is the one that I didn't play when it came out.
So which one's newer?
Outcast is.
Okay.
Yeah. And then there is Academy, which came out after that. So Academy came out and I played that when it came out, but that's the one that has this Movie Battles 2 mod. I talked about it maybe a year ago or so. Movie Battles 2 is like this full scale mod that someone did for Jedi Academy where they completely rearranged the mechanics of the game, but like the characters you choose in multiplayer, they added new skins, objectives. Like it's crazy. You can play as any character from Star Wars in there. They have a class system and it plays like a knockout round. Like you're the rebels. Okay. You're on the Death Star. You have to disable, like your objective is disable the reactor and, do this or do that. And once you die, you're out for the round. So it's kind of like a knockout, like Counter-Strike. I played it like back in the day and I couldn't remember like what I thought of it. And I was like, I should really check that out again, see if it's any good. And I remembered why I immediately stopped playing it. Because first of all, it is really hard to get set up. Even after installing everything, I had to Google a bunch of different fixes just to get it working. So on a technical level, it's a real pain in the ass.
Yeah.
And then as soon as I got in there, it's just a bunch of dudes with like Dragon Ball Ball Z screen names yelling like racial racial shit, like a lot, dude.
And they're probably really good too.
Yeah, yeah, and I don't know what's going on, so I'm getting killed instantly.
That's so strange, dude, because I would assume that it would be an older crowd.
You'd think so.
Yeah.
But it really is like, some people don't grow up very much, though. But it really is like the early 2000s gaming experience, though, where you just hop in and just, yeah. It was not uncommon to see that. So yeah, still disappointed in movie battles too, but I think there's potential there. It's like a very well-designed game. But yeah, I mean, that was my whole experience with Star Wars this week. I did notice, after doing all this with all these retro games, I was like, you know what? I honestly feel like I'm ready for something a little newer. And I noticed Battlefront 2, the new one, 2017, on sale, EA, $6. So probably going to pick that up.
Yeah.
I think I'm ready for it. And there was recently...
Why didn't you just do it?
I don't know why I didn't pull the trigger. I haven't really been home today, but I think I wanted to make sure that it wasn't available on Steam, which I don't think it is. So I'll just get it on EA. But there was recently an article on PC Gamer that said, I don't know, it had a pretty clickbaity title. It was like, you know, why Battlefront 2 is now the best Star Wars game or something. Mm. But it's a pretty well-written article describing about how far that game has come with all the updates. And they're reaching the end of the updates, but it had a very rough start, you know, made headlines with the loot box thing. And, you know, it's been a game that's really changed gaming, if you think about it, because that's just caused all this backlash with loot boxes.
But that was like when they just... They took it too far.
Took it too far.
A big company took it too far with the microtransactions and all that. And that ever since then, I feel like they're pulling back.
Yeah. They tried to turn AAA gaming into mobile gaming, basically. Right. And everybody said no, and we drew the line, and then things have been better since then. But if you look beyond that, I think there's probably a pretty good game in there after all the updates.
I've been telling you, dude, it's good.
Yeah. I think I'm ready to try it. So maybe next week that's going to be the game that I get into.
Although I don't know how much you're into the space, like the flying part. I don't know if that's a paid DLC, but
when I played it off of your account, I played some of the spaceship maps, and I found it a lot easier to control.
But I get all that shit for free. I get all the DLCs for free. Yeah. So if you get the $6 one, I don't know if you get that shit, but I guess you'll find out.
It says it includes all the updates. And then in the deluxe version, it includes a ton of cosmetics. I'm talking like hundreds of cosmetic stuff. So I think I do get like all the maps and all the content, all the stuff that really matters with the $6 one.
When you play it, dude, check out Hero Battle. That's where like you get to play as all the iconic people.
Mm-hmm.
Like it's 6v6. There's no mobs, no AI at all. It's kind of like a team deathmatch, but, you know, you get to play as Yoda and all that stuff. So that's really all right. Cool and fun.
Yeah, I'm serious about that. I think I'm going to drop the whole $6 and check that out. And it's a big step.
Was the last time you spent money on game? Did I bring this up last week, I feel?
Well, I make a little bit of money with all the card drops I get in Steam. So yeah. I'll buy, like, cheap stuff here and there. But honestly, I think the last thing I bought was... The supporter pack for Deep Rock Galactic.
Oh, yeah. When you got it on sale.
Yeah. Yeah.
I want to support you guys, but, you know.
On a budget.
Honestly. Yeah. On a budget.
God, 2 days until they release their
1.0.
Very excited.
Cool. I dude, you know how far back I am. Like, I haven't even done my first weapon upgrade mod or whatever that is.
Yeah, you got some catching up to do.
Yeah.
All right. So you got a chance to play Hypercharged Unboxed, right?
I did. Yeah. This is one of these games that just kind of like as soon as you see it, it kind of if you're a kid that ever played with toys, you definitely have a reaction to this. It looks like Toy Story. It's a first person shooter. The main vein of the game is a tower. What do you call it? Tower defense. / wave survival. It's first person, so you kind of have to protect these little, I don't know, power nodes or whatever, and you build Lego castles around it, and that gives it some protection. And then as you go through the game, you unlock other towers, things like anti-aircraft. You'll see right there, Bobby, those little army men are coming in. They're bad. Mm-hmm. And they came in on an airplane. So you got to get the anti-aircraft to take that thing out. Because if you try to shoot it with guns, it takes forever. But anyway, I played it with three other people, actually.
Cool. People on our Discord server?
Like, yeah. Uh-huh.
Okay.
Yep. Because, you know, it was a cheap buy, $14.99. And I told them, you know, if you don't like it, you could always return it after the 2 hours. It's just play for a little while. And I'm looking for my notes. Here we go. It's made by Digital Cyber Cherries. It's a 90% on Steam right now. It has that thing that, it's funny that you brought that up, Bobby, because it has that level design that you love, you know, being small in a big, in a normal place. One is a toy store, which, man, it's great. You just see all these rows and rows of toys, and there's a bathroom, a bedroom. I just saw a backyard. We didn't get to the backyard. We did the entire rotation of levels, but, you know, you have to unlock all the rest of the stuff. So we didn't get that far. I think the real fun in this game is all the unlockables. You know, you're a little action figure, and the heads pop off, and you can put a different head on there, or there's different, they're not different classes, but they're completely different models. So the first complete new model I unlocked, like not an accessory to my army man, but like a new thing, was like the lizard dude. He has a completely different form. He looks completely different than the other ones. And then there's like five more of those. And each one of those, each different form probably has like, shit, over 100 unlocks, like little helmets, glasses, shit like that, that you would put on your toys. So all of that's really cool. The graphics are great. The presentation is fantastic. It goes from a build phase, which is, I wasn't too thrilled with it. So you could take up to 3 minutes to, like, you have to jump around the whole level looking for money and collectibles, and that gives you currency to buy the towers. Mm-hmm. But all of this can be done really quickly, and you can end the round and go into combat when you want, like a lot of tower defense. But there's some like really hard to get spots. Like you can see there's these purple things. They're like really sought after unlocks, and they're almost impossible to get to. You really have to think about how you're going to get up, but there's only one per level, right? Or, well, let's say I got it. There wouldn't be a second one for you, Bobby, even though there's three on the level. You know what I mean? I could get all three and then nobody else would get any.
Oh, okay.
So if you want to hunt those down, we're either competing with each other, or one guy needs it and the other guys don't, and they're just kind of like waiting for the other guy to do it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like the whole building phase is just weird. It's fun because there's some platforming to it, but it's not like really fun. It's just like you're waiting to get to the action.
Yeah. Yeah. But there's a way you can skip that, right?
Yeah, you could skip it and make it shorter, but there's always that person that wants to get all the unlocks, right? Mm-hmm. Or two people or whatever it's going on. And, you know, how are you going to compete with the guy that, if you were down base building and one guy went to go get the rare shit, you're not going to beat him to the rare shit. You know what I mean? Like, you did the responsible stuff. So, or vice versa, however it worked out. Yeah. So I was the guy going for the rare shit all the time while everybody else was building. So I got some rare shit, and you could see it when you unlocked the game. So that phase was weird. And then once you start playing, you know, a bunch of robots come out, and you shoot the robots. There's different color ones. Some of them are army men to parachute in. Another one is like spinners or tops. Tops come in. Hmm. And what was interesting about the tops is, like, we got murdered the first time, just wiped instantly. And we're like, what is going on? Then we found out that, like, shotguns are how you take those out. So you have to switch between weapons to deal with different threats. It's like a rock, paper, scissors thing.
Does it let you know what is coming?
Oh. Not on this game. But when we circled back around to the first level again, we saw that it was the exact same. They came from the exact same areas. Nothing changed. It was just the exact same thing. So, you know, it's a 90% on Steam, but it's I would say the fun factor is what was missing. Like after talking, you know, we played for an hour, two hours. I asked the guys, you know, what they thought, and they all thought it was good, but it was missing something. Yeah, it's all in the production value. Like the selling points is how it looks.
Was it challenging though? Because I can say that playing wave survival games, if it's not challenging, then it feels like a chore.
Well, there's four different levels of difficulty. Mm-hmm. And it was weird because within that level, the second one up that we were in, I would say 80% of it was too easy. And then 20% of it was like, what the fuck? We're super overwhelmed. Mm-hmm. But that we just had some stuff to figure out. So, yeah, you could learn and up the difficulty. But it just kind of got repetitive even within 2 hours. And I felt like right away, the only reason you play this game is to get all this very cool unlocks. But I need the grinding to be fun. And the grinding wasn't fun.
That core game loop isn't.
Yeah.
It's got to be there.
I mean, I think some people would enjoy it. Maybe it was an off night. I don't know. But it was just very simplistic. And yeah, for $14, I'd probably recommend it. But not much more than that. So make sure you get it on sale.
Hmm. All right. And that is Hypercharged Unboxed.
Yeah, and I can never remember that fucking name, dude. Like, every time I think about this game, I have to look it up.
It's a unique one. It's got a free demo, too, so you can, you know, you can
try before you buy.
Try before you buy. All right. I'll talk about another game real quick that I played. Not too much to say about this one. So I was kind of in a retro week this last week. And recently, thank you, Jens. He had given me Turok 2, Seeds of Evil.
Ooh.
Now, I had played the first Turok, and I had talked about it. And this game was tough, man. Turok 1 is a difficult game in the way that a lot of old games were difficult. It's an easy game to get lost in. So I hit a point with the first Turok where I was running around collecting... I can't remember what it is in the first one that you have to collect, but you have to collect some item, I think keys, and that unlocks other portals so you can then get to other levels. And I had missed some somewhere on my journey, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours into the game, I had missed some and I was stuck. I couldn't get to the next level. So then I had to figure out, okay, I had to go through each level and check every little nook and cranny trying to find a key or look it up on YouTube. But it's even difficult to determine what key you missed. So it was not fun. I thought, okay, going into Turok 2, Seeds of Evil, maybe they changed this. Because a lot of times sequels will make things a little easier. It did not, though. Turok 2 is pretty much the same. You have to jump into these very, very large levels. You have to free prisoners and you have to collect shards for a teleporter, I believe it is. And you have to do that to get through the level. I had completed the first one, which took me an hour, a pretty long time, and I was still missing one shard and two prisoners. So ended up looking up a guide and finding those.
That's what I was going to say. Like, games back here, like you said, difficult in the way that old games are. It's just arbitrary placement, right? There's no guidance.
Well, here's the thing. And I talked about this when I was playing Jedi Knight. There are ways that you have to progress through that game. Like the way to get, like, you may be stuck in a room or stuck in an area and you're like, how do I get out of this area? I don't know. And it turns out it was a small little like grate in the wall somewhere in the distance that is not very noticeable, like behind a crate that you have to slash through. And then you crawl through the ventilation system. Any other modern game, that would be a secret, like a bonus,
right,
like,
right.
Oh, if you found that, good for you. You really spent the time to search the map and find that little extra area. But in these games, that's how you progress. So the expectation is much higher in these older games. And Turok 2 is even more difficult because in Jedi Knight, like, it's a smaller area where you try to, where you're possibly stuck. In Turok 2, the map is huge. And it's also split up by different teleporters that send you to each segment. So it's difficult to remember where to get to the teleporter to get back. It is a tough game. I'll probably continue to play it. I just started the second level. But man, it is, I feel afraid to play this game without having like a YouTube walkthrough up in the other window, because if I miss something, then it's a lot of work.
Super punishing.
It's when you have to collect items like this, you have to figure out which one, like there's three or four of each on a level, and you don't know which one you missed unless you watch the whole YouTube video. So it's difficult, not in a good way. But I will say, this is the remastered version of Turok 2 that they put on Steam not too long ago.
Overwhelmingly positive.
Yeah. I mean, these are probably people who are...
Yeah. You know, nostalgia, right?
Yeah, exactly.
What I was talking about last week.
Before. But I will say, it looks fantastic. It plays fantastic. Like, they did such a fantastic job with these... Turok 1 and Turok 2 with these remasters. I mean, they haven't really changed anything, but they run and look perfectly. And that's really all you need from it. But it's strange, because I never played these games. I think they were console back
then.
Yeah,
they were definitely console.
Yeah, they came out in, what, 98? The second one was 98?
Yeah.
I never played them. So this is my first experience with the Turok games.
Those textures, man.
Yeah. That was the 90s, dude. That's what things looked like. Yeah. All right. So, but you've been playing some other games too, right?
Yeah, not too much. I probably played Hypercharge the most, but I did play Sundered. I've played it before. You've played it. I forgot that you played it. You saw me writing up my notes for this. It's called, I don't know what makes it Eldridge Edition, but...
It's the only edition there is.
Okay. So yeah. we got that out of the way. So it is from, here we go, Thunder Lotus Games. And man, as soon as I read Thunder Lotus, I thought of what you just said, or what you had said. This is like two nouns just thrown together, yeah. Like in a random generator.
Yep,
for sure. Let's turn our. We'll be Lotus Thunder DL or fucking podcast, dude.
Yeah,
it's an 82% on Steam. It's a hand drawn Metroidvania with roguelite elements. I was really, and this is why. You shouldn't play games for 10 minutes and fucking give a review. My first 10 minutes, I was like, what is going on, man? I'm just jumping around and there's nothing. There's nothing. There's like...
It's a very, very slow start for the first part of it. But I was thinking the same thing. Like, I don't know about this game. Once I got past that, you're like, you realize what the game is. And you're like, oh, okay, this is good.
Yeah, for sure. The more I play it, the more I like it, man. Like... I was like, man, I really need a double jump. And I would say within 5 minutes of thinking that, I got a double jump. And then I was like, oh, I really need this. I forgot what it was. And within 5 minutes, the game gave it to me too. And I was like, oh, this is like progressing really nicely. I didn't like it at first because I didn't understand what the game was doing. But I like it more and more. So in most games, especially Metroidvanias, you go into an area and you kill the same monsters that are in the same areas over and over because you backtrack. By the nature of Metroidvanias, you backtrack many times during it. But in this, you're in this giant old mine, and the enemies attack you in coordinated attacks all at once. Mm-hmm. So you won't see a bad guy for 5 minutes. And then next thing you know, you have 30 bad guys all attacking you at once. And it makes this form of combat / exploration. I wouldn't say I would like it for every game, but for this game, it works really well. And I had some white knuckle parts that I was like, whoa, this is the only way to get for this to happen. Because in all other games, if you think about the peon bad guys, mm-hmm. they pose no threat, especially later on when you get more powerful. And in this, potentially you can get fucked up by any one of these, ambushes. Yeah, mm-hmm. I'll call it an ambush. Overall, though, the game is very, very easy. You have a shield and a health bar. I think the entire time I've been playing, I lost my shield maybe twice. Like, it's really easy. Maybe I'll up the difficulty. I haven't looked at you'll be able to do it.
How long have you been playing it for?
Between last playthrough and this one, I would say 2 hours.
Okay. I played it a little bit longer than you, and yes, it does get more difficult, especially when you go to the next area. Then things become a lot more challenging, and you get a lot of upgrades, a lot of points to spend into upgrades. And I enjoyed the talent tree.
Yeah. The talent tree is like this branching talent tree.
Yeah. So if you want like to really focus on weapons, you have to find different ways to get to those weapon upgrades along the branching talent tree. Yep. But those come a lot slower later in the game, and the difficulty definitely ramps up.
Good. I'll be looking forward to it, to that. And then the other thing, like I'm saying, this game almost gives you things as I mentally want them. It just kind of get. I was like, man, this. I'm going to shit all over this game. Like, the fucking backgrounds and everything is the exact same thing everywhere you go. And then every once in a while, they'll hit you with this. You'll see a little glimpse of this organic stuff and not so much metallic things. Mm-hmm. And it's really colorful, vibrant, and the shapes are completely different. But it's only a little bit. You can kind of see where it's going. And, yeah, this slow starts is not a thing that games do very often anymore. Because you take the risk of people just instantly not liking it. I think here it kind of paid off, though. I am going to continue playing this next week.
Now, have you reached this level right here, which I'm showing on the screen?
No.
Okay. The level looks kind of like you're underground in hell. There's a lot of these demonic figures flying around.
Yeah.
This is where it really gets challenging.
Cool. There. Looking forward to it.
Yeah. Yeah, Sundered. And if you were picking up all those games that Epic was giving away for free during December, it was like a new one every week. This was one of those games. Or maybe it was a new one every day. I can't remember. But
there was a point when they were doing it every
day. Yeah, they were giving away a lot of free games. This was one of those games, and that's when I picked it up. Yeah, I had a good time with Sundered.
Cool.
All right. You played a little bit of Remnant from the Ashes as well, too.
I did. And when I say a little bit, I'm not even going to talk about whether I like it or not. But
just, was it your first time playing it?
It was my first time playing it, yeah. Okay. But we've talked about this game forever because it's, it's a little bit hard to put a finger on it.
Yeah, and Ray played quite a bit of it and talked about it.
Yeah. So it's a third-person action-adventure, three-player co-op, if you want. So that's why I stopped playing. I had it there. I was ready, but I was waiting for JP Diddy. And we'll probably be playing... on like Friday nights is when we usually play. So we'll need a third if you have this or if you're interested. Unfortunately, it's $40. But I believe I bought it on sale for like 26 or 23. There it is on Steam. So I played it for the first hour. I played through the tutorial. Let's see what I have on here. There's three classes. They're not really classes. It's just the style of gameplay. You have your long range, mid range, and up close guy. And they look completely different. You know, like super armored. And then, you know, the guy with the hunting rifle, which I thought was cool just to, you know, not have to call him anything. It's just, it is what it is. That's how you fight. The art and the style of it is very cool. Like the art and the style of the bad guys is very cool. If I had a complaint right away, it would be the world building that I've seen so far has been very generic. Just like, you know, they were using just the built-in assets from the engine or something. It looks like later in the game that gets a little more creative, but, you know, at the very, very beginning of the game, it's just like very cheaply made hallways and just barrels and crates, you know, the standard stuff. The story is very simple, but I, the more I think about it, the more I like just simple stories. It just kind of works in this world. The bad guys are really creative. I'm fighting the Root. That's what they're, that's what the faction is called, I guess. And they're all just like tree people or tree stuff.
So, like intertwined branches forming human bodies.
Yeah. So it's, what did I say the Metacritic was? Oh, 78. I think it's an 84 on Steam. So I'm looking forward to this. I think I'm really going to like it, dude. It reminds me a lot of that game that we always forget the name of, where we were that co-op open world game where you fight like demons that pop up out of the ground randomly, shadow demons. And we played with Dick Nick and his friends.
Yeah, we do always forget the name.
We always forget the name of that game. But it reminds me of that, but... this is probably way better. As a, you know, some people says roguelike stuff, but I mean, sorry, souls-like, but I feel like a lot of games just have a dodge mechanic and enemies that like wind up on their hits. And then people calls it that souls-like. I tend to disagree that's what that is.
Souls-like means a lot of things these days. Sometimes people say that if a game is just really hard.
Yeah, exactly.
Hoosier 89, thank you so much for the subscription, man.
Thank
you. Appreciate it. Also, someone in chat, Anduin 2000, is asking if we played Predator Hunting Grounds, and you have played that.
Yeah.
You're not very impressed, though, if I remember correctly.
Well, to be fair, I played a... What do you call it? Like a stress test, I believe it was.
Yeah, it was one of their open weekends.
It was a free weekend. The game's in beta, early beta at the time. I did like a lot of what I did played. I mean, it's an exact throwback to the movie, to the 80s movie with Arnold Schwarzenegger. The Predator moves just like the guy in the movie, the camouflage, everything just feels like the movie, which is not bad things. It's a 4v1. And I think there's promise there. They just got to get their shit together as far as, player base and the netcode.
Yeah. And that's what I remember you saying.
Yeah.
Something to that effect, like, it looks good, but it needs work.
Atrocious with the Prime. Thank you, buddy.
Thank you so much. All right. So the last game that we're going to talk about here, I'm very excited to talk about, Pulsar Lost Colony. Mentioned it last week. We were like, you know, we talked about Star Trek games a lot. And then we had talked about how we had briefly played Pulsar Lost Colony. And that's a game that had just stuck in my memory for the longest time, and I always wanted to go back and check it out. Years later, I finally went back and checked it out this week, and it has come a long way, and it's a great game. It's a great co-op game. I had such a blast playing this. It is still in early access, and there's definitely bugs and things that need to be fixed, and the graphics look, you know, there's some like first-person shooting in there and like all sorts of things, and yeah, it looks, there's no voiceover or spoken dialogue in it. It's all text. I mean, it's a low budget type of game like this, but the things that it needs to do right, it does so well.
Which is the experience, right?
Yeah, it is the Star Trek experience. So I loaded this up. We were all supposed to play together. We unfortunately weren't able to make that happen, but I was able to play a few games with Sniper. You know, the invitation is still open, guys. If you want to play this, I've got a save with a good ship that's had a really good run, so I'd be down to play with people on the server.
Now, when you say that, you said that earlier, so when you say this ship has had a really good run, if the ship gets destroyed, then you have to start from scratch again?
No.
Okay.
You can, as the captain, you can save the game whenever you want, and it also auto-saves, so you can always go back.
Okay.
So what this game is it tries to recreate Star Trek, basically. Mm-hmm. It's a co-op game where you choose a role. There are five different roles, and each person has to fulfill their duties in order for the ship to function. Each duty has a lot of different things to do, though. Like, it's complicated. There's a lot to this game, and when you jump into it at first, it is overwhelming. The good part is this is a very welcoming community. Every game that I jumped into, I didn't start my own ship right away. Every game that I jumped into, first thing I said over comms was, look, guys, I'm pretty new at this, so, you know, forgive me, but I'm going to need some help. And everybody has been overwhelmingly helpful.
That's awesome.
Just like,
you find that in small communities, mm-hmm. because it's hardcores that stick around.
And I mean, how many people are playing this game? Not a whole lot, but a good amount. 184 right now.
And they don't know that, you know, them being nice to you is going to lead to a DL Gaming bump next
week.
Yeah,
they don't know, man. Like, they, I want to tell them, like, you guys don't even know, man.
I'm basically PC Gaming Jesus.
Yeah. Like, literally, you are going to get talked about. All right. Shout out to Sean Solo.
Oh.
No, he was one of the first people I played with. And a lot of little kids seem to play this game because he hopped on comms and I'm like, oh, boy, this kid sounds young. This is probably not going to be fun. But kid was like on top of things. And like, I didn't really know. So like, I was asking a lot of questions and someone gave me the rundown. I started out playing as the pilot, which I think is the easiest job. You steer the ship and don't run into things. That's pretty much it.
Do you have to run away from things from time to time?
Yeah. During a fight, you may have to get closer to an enemy ship or hide behind an asteroid. When you warp to another system, you have to line up the ship so the engineer can warp it. But that's pretty much it. And then maybe you go help with the weapons or something. But I did that and it went pretty well. And I was playing a game with like one other person and he's kind of walking me through it and explaining different things. And then,
how's that work? How do you play with one other person?
You can have bots.
Okay.
that come in and help you, but you can also have the captain can kind of do all the other things, but he has to do them at the same time. So it's a lot of work. So basically you just don't do anything super difficult early on until you get a bigger crew. Then you can do more advanced things. But what happened was I'm playing with this guy. And then shortly after that, two other people came in and they knew what they were doing. They had been playing this game for who knows how long. And they're like, okay, cool. And then they just start going way over my head. They jump into another system. They're like, running scan, sir. Okay, we've got two bogeys out there. Weapons is like targeting bogey Bravo or something. Like just like all this like back and forth. And it's like, we need coolant on reactor two. And I'm like, what's going on? What's going on, guys? What do you need me to do? I'm like,
your explanation of this reminds me a lot of that Tyler Wilde article, dude. I think you can't put us all in that sitting in the back seat.
Yeah. Well, this game builds a narrative, right? Like
that's how the story is told through the experience, right?
Yeah. I mean, you carve your own path through the universe. So, like, if I were to tell the story of my ship, the USS Plandemic, shout out, yeah. That ship, so we are not cool with the AOG, all right? They've been sending lots of bounty hunters, and we've been killing them all.
Who's AOG?
There's a bunch of different factions in the game.
Oh, okay.
So we've got problems with them, but, you know, we've done some really cool stuff. We explored a crashed ship that turned out to be haunted, and there's some ghosts there.
Can you shoot ghosts?
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, we can't. Like, there's just all these, like, little stories that have happened along this voyage. You know, we came across a wreck and got lucky and got a really good turret on from it.
For your ship?
Yeah. We went to an asteroid and we blew ourselves up because we got stuck inside of it.
Story-wise, what happens to your... Like, how do you come back to life? Or what happens? You just spawn on the ship again if you die on our way?
You just load up an old save.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, yeah. But it's an adventure, and you get to choose your adventure. So you could choose to, like, do missions with these people if you want, or you can choose to, like, hey, I want to be a bounty hunter, and I'm just going to go hunt other people, or I'm just going to fly around and take whatever mission comes up and just... It's straight up like Star Trek. You remember when Star Trek, they'd just fly through space, and they'd, like, come across some planet, and then, like, Kirk would just, like, make love to them, and then they'd solve one of their problems, and then they're on their way.
Right.
That's pretty much, like, how you play the game. But it's... The mechanics in this game is great, though. Like, that's what I really love about it. You know, I love a co-op game where everybody has their job, and everyone has to do their...
Can you explain the roles and what they do?
I can explain some of them because I've only learned a few of them. Piloting, I kind of explained that.
Yeah.
Captain, you just tell everyone what to do. And if you're going to take on that role, it's pretty good if you know what's required of the other roles, I think. But you can get by without doing it if the rest of your team knows what they're doing. I have not played the weapons master, I think they're called, and I have not played engineering. Engineering seems like the most difficult job, though. I have played science officer, which is also kind of like the communications officer. You know, you can hail a ship. If there's an enemy or a friendly ship, you can bring up communications with them for the captain. And that's what's so cool about playing captain is just, can I get communications on screen, or, you know, just like asking people and they bring it up. It feels...
Now, when you're communicating with an AI, so is it like choose your response type stuff?
Yeah. Like text comes up on screen. Yeah. You got to read it. You choose a response. A lot of times they're asking if you want to accept the mission. You can upgrade your diplomacy or your... like intimidation, so you have better roles against...
Are you getting credits of some sort, like some monetary reward?
You get credits, so you can buy better parts or better guns for when you do away missions and you have to shoot up ghosts, but or aliens, or the little ant creatures. But you also have a talent tree. Like, you get experience.
As your player?
Yeah, as your player.
What about your ship?
No, your ship doesn't. But you're upgrading the parts constantly.
Man, I really want to play it. It's just our time didn't sign up.
That's the one downside to this game. It is a time requirement. Like, you don't want to start this game unless you have at least an hour. And every time that I've told people, like, oh, man, I hate to say it, but I got to go, guys. Like, it has been met with, like, a very heartfelt disappointment. Like people are like, okay.
Yeah, we finally got going, right?
Yeah, I've had to do that a couple of times, but it's unfortunate. But I really try to put in a good amount of time if I'm going to play this game. But you can play as robots, too, in this, which is great. I'm a robot. I don't need oxygen, so we could turn the oxygen off in my ship if there weren't humans. But I mean, and there's
the first time you didn't have to role play, dude.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. but the missions are great. I mean, there's some where you go down on planets and you have to shoot up a bunch of people, pretty basic. There are other ones where there are these things. The first one I ever came across was called a Silvassi cipher. And a Silvassi is like one of the races in this that you can play as. But it's a puzzle. It's a straight up like circular puzzle. And you get only a certain amount of tries to do it. And nothing really gives you hints or anything. And it's like this weird design that you have to put in a certain order. And you have to figure out which button does what. Like it's the puzzles in it are really good. And it's exploration. It's a little bit of combat. The combat's a little janky, but the space combat's awesome. But the shooting the guns thing is a little weird. But yeah. And, you know, it's puzzles. It is so, there's so much to this game. It's a co-op game with roles. I love it, man.
Bobby's smiling.
Yeah. Some people really role play this hard, which makes it so funny, though, because I have people that come on with like, Lieutenant so-and-so reporting for duty, running active scan, sir. Permission to upgrade this. And I'm just like super laid back. I'm just, you know, like permission to warp out of here. Like, totally, dude. Go for it, bro. You know? Yeah, but it's, I could see where the Pulsar Lost Colony could be intimidating towards people, especially with a $25 price point. But this could, it's not going to be the new Deep Rock, but it's close, man. This is going to be a game that I'm going to continue to play for a while.
I think the Deep Rock thing is like anybody can pick up and play this, pretty much. Mm-hmm. Don't you feel? Well, not be great at it, but yeah, they can play it day one. I mean,
they've done a great tutorial, but you know, something that I talked about with Soren when we had our interview was that the game, I played the game since like its early days when it was very simple and I've grown with it. A new person jumping in now, there's a lot being thrown at them with that game. Oh yeah. Yeah. Even he said they had a big problem with people understanding the Nitra, how you have to get Nitra and then you spend it to get a resupply. Like that was a big problem, but they have done a lot for the tutorial in their last big update. Mm. So yeah, I don't know, man, but this is just like, the community is fantastic and that really helps this game because I tried to look up like online how to play this game. And I tried to do their tutorial and they kind of like outline, you don't know until you just throw yourself in there. It's like
trial by fire.
Yeah. It's like line dancing. Like you don't learn to do that any other way by just being thrown into
That's a weird analogy, man.
That was always the analogy used to me. I don't know why. Like line dance, nobody like studies line dancing and figure out, okay, this is that. Like you just jump in and people push you around until you figure out where to go. Because, you know, with line dancing, you have the, like,
you're following
MC,
the other person right next to you.
Well, yeah, but you have the MC who calls something out, and that this type of dance move. Yeah, we don't have cahoots in San Diego anymore. Yeah. San Diego's famous country bar.
I don't know what. Are you sure it's not? It's gone?
I'm like 95% sure.
In Mission Valley.
Yeah, I do not think cahoots is there. That's where all, like, the baseball players used to go.
Yeah.
But, yeah, Pulsar, Lost Colony, open invitation to anybody out there. Like, I would love to play with you. And that's the other thing too, man. Like I am attached to my ship now and that playthrough that I have. So
you could tell by the way you were saying it, like I got a good ship.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
I made the Kessel run 12 parsecs.
Yeah, made the Kessel run 12 parsecs. She's got it where it counts, but it also, I forgot to mention something very important. So like, it seems like, you know, okay, you're just going on missions and it seems leisurely. There's something called the chaos level that rises as the game progresses. Ooh. Things get harder and harder and harder. So it's kind of like, I almost picture it like in Faster Than Light or FTL where that red circle is coming after you.
Yeah.
Like you can't leisure around too much. Like eventually the difficulty is going to go up.
Oh, I like that, dude.
Yeah.
I like that a lot, actually.
It is great. I can't wait to learn how to play engineering. I can't wait to learn how to play weapons.
Because it's going
to
make you a better captain.
Yeah.
Exactly. Knowing those roles.
Yeah. And then also just like filling in for things that need to be done. Cause there's a lot of things that I don't understand, like how the coolant works and the stability level and the heat. And like, it's science, man. It's like, it's rocket science. But it's great. I know Captain Gummy, one of our listeners, is he's really into that game. I look forward to playing with him. And
nice.
Yeah.
Which I would assume that means Cricket's into it too, but I guess he wasn't around.
Yeah, maybe not. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know.
Maybe that's the one game they don't play together.
Yeah. It's a dark secret.
Yeah, I think Felix in chat here is one of the guys we've been playing with recently as well.
Oh, cool, man.
Very cool. All right, man. That is it for the games we've been playing this week. It's been a good week for gaming.
Yes.
Really happy with it.
I'm glad that you got it, because I got maybe 4 hours total this week. So I'm glad that you got a lot of time.
Yeah.
Next week, I'm going back to 5 days a week of work, which sounds like I'd have less time, but I'll be getting off at like 1:30 in the afternoon. So,
okay.
Yeah, hopefully I have a lot more time. We'll see.
All right. Cool. Let's do our call-in. So I'm going to jump. Oops, that's the wrong
one. Dude, it's warm. Should I open the door?
Yeah, we haven't had any dogs barking.
It's true.
As well.
I'll do it when I get another drink.
Okay. This here.
All right. Hey, Pandemic, how you doing?
Hey, how's it going?
Back for the second week in a row.
Back it again.
There is no way you're cheating. You're not cheating this time, dude. You must.
I'm not cheating. It's only me and Sniper right now sitting in the hangout. So it's a pretty quiet week with Mother's Day going on.
Oh, that's right. Hopefully everyone called their moms today.
Yeah, that's another reason. So usually I get the bulk of my gaming on Sunday, but...
Well, do you celebrate Mexican Mother's Day? Because I know that's
that was yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. No, I told her we're in a goddamn America. we're gonna speak goddamn American, and you get your presents on Sunday, and I didn't get her any presents. But I gave her a baby-free day. So, I took
care of... Baby-free.
Best gift of all.
Yeah.
So... One less grandmother's day is what you're saying.
Yeah, exactly.
Yep. Right. I did find a pretty unique gift for my mom. I found it on Etsy. It was a wine glass tumbler, but it says Mother's Day 2020, the day we spent in quarantine. I thought that was hilarious. And I was like, I'm getting that for my mom. It was like,
yeah,
24
good, man.
Bucks.
I think anything
something to remember this day, you know, 20 years
exactly.
from now.
Yep.
And it's like, hey, mom, this is that Mother's Day with Corona, you know, like couldn't spend it with you because, you know, even though we're only 40 miles apart, I can't come see you.
I sent my mom a mug with 4 pictures of me with Luna, and she called me as if I had sent her a Rolls Royce, dude. And she was just like, dude, my God, you know.
Yeah. That's heartfelt. I sent my mom tea. She likes tea. Yeah.
Yeah. I think anything really. I mean, as we get older, you know, I thought back in the day where it's like, you know, Mother's Day. I'm like, oh, man, what am I going to do for Mother's Day? And, you know, now I'm like 30 years old. I'm like, oh, you know what, mom, let's go out to Outback. We'll, I'll take you out to dinner or take you out to some fancy Italian restaurant or whatever. Have some wine and whatever. And
Spending time.
Oh yeah, it's all about that time. I look back at Father's Day and I'm just like, well, hey Dad, you want me to help you mow the lawn or you know, or let me fire up the grill for you, take it easy for a day.
Barbecue.
You know, your dad's really more forgiving as far as like the love aspect goes. He's like, well, you fired up the grill and you got the tractor fixed. I'm like, all right, thanks, appreciate it.
Nice. I'm in an awkward position because my mom's birthday is right next to Mother's Day and my dad's birthday right next to Father's Day.
Yeah.
Oh wow. Yeah. That's a trip.
Yeah. Get hitting hard in May and June.
Right. Well, hey Amelia, your whiskey glass is looking a little low there.
It is. But I don't want to miss this. I want to see if you cheated. I feel like you cheated.
I there's no way I cheated. I've been busy with work all week. I don't know if I said this last week, but I work as an auto tech. Yesterday I pulled 14 hours of flat rate on 6 vehicles that I did. So I am beat.
I bet, dude. I bet. You know, so when they moved us to 4 10-hour days, I was like, I'm going to have a whole extra day off. I spent all day Friday recuperating.
Yeah.
Those were
long days, man.
Beating myself up, especially at a construction site. Like, we're actually working, you know?
Yeah. Now, is that a job where you can listen to podcasts, Pandemic?
So, I could. I actually caught the last week podcast on my way home from work. So, you know, I have a nice Bluetooth sound system in my car. Even on my motorcycle, I can still listen to Bluetooth radio or YouTube or something like that, as long as my YouTube doesn't shut down unexpectedly while I'm riding. But
how'd you feel listening to yourself?
Man, I sounded It's always interesting to hear yourself talk.
Yeah, sure. You're always super critical. Well, everybody, most people are super critical of themselves. You're like, my gosh, like what the fuck? Why do people listen?
Like, what did I say? And you know, the funny thing is, back in high school, I used to be an actor. I used to stand up in front of a packed crowd, a packed auditorium, like 400 or 500 people for 2 days. You know, out of the night, you know, like a Friday and Saturday, a packed full house, and I got to be the Cockney bum that said, "Oh, I fell on my face." You know, wow. And you know, the four lines that I had for that little drama play or something like that, you know, I was like, I could never hear myself talk. Nobody recorded any of these, you know.
So. Right. Mm-hmm. So we did a thing for WASD a while back, and I was like, we had to record it, and I was like, oh, I'm going to go in here and smash this. We have 300 podcasts under our belt, dude. This is going to be no problem. As soon as they turn on the camera, I turn into an absolute robot, like malfunctioning robot. I was like, I don't know what to say or do with my hands.
I forgot my notes are right here. And yeah.
It was bad, dude. Even the final product, I was like, oh, geez.
It's an entirely different skill set.
Man. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I used to make some movies back in the day. I had a little 200.
Have you ever heard of Avatar?
Camcorder. It was like a 120 gig hard drive built into this thing. And I used to make movies like... Me and a couple of friends, we'd always make these things, and I'd get in, I can't even remember what I used. I probably used Sony Vegas back in the day to edit all of these videos. And it was always fun to watch the final product, you know, and I was like, oh, wow, okay, that's kind of cool. But, you know, high school and then trying to go back to watch these things, you know, a decade later, you're like, wow, dude, that's what I sounded like when I was... 16 or 17.
Yeah, Bobby just went through that.
Yeah.
Anyways, speaking of different sounds, you ready for your mystery sound?
Hold on. Before we get to the mystery sound, you were talking about a bunch of bundles and some screaming deals. I wanted to point out the other day, it's like the dark side of YouTube. I had one too many beers, and I found... a link on Steam. So for right now, Square Enix and Eidos are giving away 54 games for less than $40.
Damn, that sounds pretty good.
And that link, hold on one second. I just posted that link into the chat. So it's also on the Discord under the Dankest deals in the gaming column.
Okay, cool. Oh, 95% off.
Games like Anachronox and I see you guys just pulled it up. Check out that list of games. Almost all the Tomb Raider games, the Thief games, Dungeon Siege. There's a crap ton of deals of games that I used to play back in the day.
Yeah.
And they're all there.
Deus Ex games.
And if you don't know, if you own some of these games, they'll take off that from the price, right, Bobby?
This looks a little different here.
Oh.
They're not showing. Yeah, I don't know. I'd have to check that on my account. But yeah, all the Deus Ex games, Just Cause 3, almost pretty much all the Tomb Raider games, Just Cause 1 and 2, all the Thief games, Deus Ex games, a lot of good stuff here.
Yeah, the Thief games, I loved the Thief games. I used to play those way back before Assassin's Creed was even a thought in someone's mind. And, that's why I loved Assassin's Creed for the longest time. I'm like, this is Thief.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But better, you know?
Yeah, that's a great deal.
The Dungeon Siege games, I remember playing 2 and 3 very vividly. I loved those games. And, Anachronox, that was for at least what it was back in the day, that was kind of a puzzler game, if I remember the gameplay correctly. But it was also an RTS, not RTS, but kind of like Final Fantasy. It was a turn-based strategy as far as the combat system went. But anyway, that was the deal of the week that I found. So.
Yeah, that's a good find, dude.
Nice.
Yeah.
All right.
You want to hit him with that sound?
Yep. Let's do it. The mystery sound. Take two. Let's see if you get it this time. Take we got a two. Hint.
You know, I don't have high hopes for this one, but I've been thinking about it. I saw the hint, and then I made dinner, and then here I am. So right. Haven't had a whole lot of time to think about it.
So for the listeners, the hint is dragon. Now let me play the sound here. Pretty big hint, if I say so myself. Dragon.
Man. All right. I mean, we're talking about sound bites here from a game. And I'm just trying to think about this logically. There's only a couple games that I can think of and I remember playing. The only one that I can think of, honestly, now which one it was, I don't remember. Maybe one or two. It sounds like a soundbite from one of the Dragon Age games.
That's a good guess, but no, I'm sorry, that is incorrect.
No. Yep. Okay.
Oh, wow.
Damn. Damn. All right. Well,
dude, he's going to wake up in a dry sweat, like, or what is it? Cold sweat. Like,
every morning. I mean, I didn't even know Zap said last week he knew it was, but I don't see him online tonight.
Cornish, so, shut the fuck up, man.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
But well, I mean, that's okay. It was a decent guess. I was thinking about it. I'm like,
yeah,
that was either like a publisher soundtrack or something inside of a game, and that was the only thing I could think of.
Well, you're closer than you were last week. You're in the right. You're in the fantasy setting, so that's an improvement.
There you go.
We're getting
right. Well, I mean, the hint did the hint like improved that by like 50%.
Yeah,
but I'm off by the other 50 still.
Yeah.
All right, thanks for calling in, man.
All right, thank you.
All right, guys.
So much.
Well, I appreciate it. Hey, enjoy that bundle if you're looking at it.
Absolutely.
Somebody's going to pick that up.
Right. All right. Well, Emilio, Bobby, thanks again, and we'll talk to you again later.
All right, man. Talk to you later.
See him next week, maybe.
Yeah.
We'll just have him try every single week. Okay, so we're going to talk about games that have come to our attention recently that have interested us on the radar. The first one is Mass Effect, the trilogy remastered. Now there's a lot of rumors flying around recently. This one is not confirmed. There was, EA had a meeting with their investors and they said, we have 14 new games coming out. And one of those games they said is an HD remake of an older EA game. Now, the person who wrote this article on VentureBeat, Jeff Grubb, seemed very confident that this is going to be a remastering of the original trilogy of Mass Effect, which makes total sense to me. Like that, I figure this is coming sooner or later. Mass Effect was a huge series. The last one did not go over so well. People still really enjoy the original one, and it's old enough that they could do a remaster and people would be ready to buy it. I think about 5 years ago, I played through all three Mass Effect games, one after the other, and it's a great way to play the game. I'm hoping this remastered version will kind of condense those three, although they are very different games. Like, they change a lot in each of them, so I don't know how they would do that. But either way, that'd be a great way to experience the series again. I think that was such a great series. I know a lot of people were really upset with how it ended in the third one. Didn't really bother me. So, although Warconius in chat is saying he's pretty sure it's a remaster of FIFA 1998. They remaster that game every year, dude. Come on now. So yeah, Mass Effect trilogy remastered. Not 100% confirmed, but sounds legit. Also on the remastering front, Diablo 2, and again, not confirmed, but rumored that there's a Diablo 2 remastered coming. A lot of people were asking for this. Blizzard said it would be very difficult to do because they straight up don't even have a lot of the old textures and old assets from Diablo 2. But people definitely would eat this up. The leak, if you want to call it that, comes from design lead David Brett. Oh no, that's something
I feel like it would directly compete with Diablo 4 too, which is coming.
Possibly. So the leak comes from a French site, Actu Gaming, and it's a subsidiary of Activision. And they have leaked other stuff before, things involving Diablo 4, Shadowlands, Overwatch 2, and all that stuff turned out to be too. So it's a credible source, but it is not confirmed.
Have you played Overwatch since it's been Overwatch 2?
I played like half an hour of Overwatch like a month ago.
Did it feel like Overwatch 2?
Oh, no. Overwatch 2 isn't out yet.
Oh.
Yeah, dude. It's Blizzard. They announced something and it comes out 4 years later.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So Diablo 2, looking forward to that in the year 2030. We're not all dead.
I think it's a bad sign from a company, man, remastering their greatest hits because...
I think everyone's doing it these days, though. Like, I can't really blame them.
Blizzard's doing it a lot.
Blizzard is. Well, we just talked about the Mass Effect trilogy being remastered. Yeah. I mean, it's... I think it's a big business right now. What was the other EA one? Command & Conquer remastered. Right. They did a great job with that.
I guess that's true. But I'm so okay it's a bad moment for all around. Yeah. I mean, upwards and onwards, I feel. Just start making better shit.
I don't know. There's a lot of good older games out there that just need a facelift. And you know what? Warcraft 3, I know that didn't go over so well day one, but that game is exactly what it needed to be. It's a great remaster now. If you go and play it right now.
Mm.
Yeah.
It was the netcode that was suffering at first, right?
There were a lot of issues. Yeah. A lot of problems.
Have you played it?
Mm-hmm. Every now and then I'll play it. I'll play like a little bit of the single player or I'll do some multiplayer.
Sniper and 2v2s. Days have been playing some like Age of Empires 2 every once in a while.
Yeah, Age of Empires 2 is blowing up right now. Like everybody's on top of that. And I believe I don't have the new one that's on the Xbox Game Pass, the definitive edition. I have the HD edition, wrong edition. But I think they're cross-compatible. I think I can still play with them. Except I only have HD graphics and they have...
Why do you think it's blowing
definitive.
Up? Because 3's coming out?
I don't know. There was an article on PC Gamer talking about how like huge it was getting. But a lot of people are playing it. I hopped into the HD edition. I got into a multiplayer game and played around to that.
I see them playing. I go in to watch and all it is Days crying about like, oh, they're attacking from the north and the south. I don't know what to do. It's pretty funny.
It's... Age of Empires 2 is probably my favorite in that genre of games, man. That's where it peaked for me. Okay, next up on the radar is Crucible. This is a game I want to spend a minute talking about. This is another game coming from Amazon. It's coming out before their other game, A New World or The New World.
Yeah.
Crucible is a game that's coming out May 20th. It's going to be free to play. And it is hard to describe this game because it combines so many different things. When you first look at it, it looks like an over-the-shoulder, like a third-person point of view, over-the-shoulder shooter. And it looks kind of like, I don't know, Apex Legends a little bit. But it's got three different game modes. And it really takes stuff from Overwatch, where you have characters who have abilities as well as shooting guns. It takes stuff from... Battle Royale games like Apex Legends with some of their modes. It also takes stuff from Dota. They have another mode that's like a MOBA, basically.
Dude.
Where you have to collect resources and then you fight other people. And it's kind of like this ongoing battle between you and them, but also in this environment that you have to farm.
Back when we were playing Smite and all I could think about was MOBAs, I thought about a lot of like an RPG where you take your RPG character and take it to the MOBA scene, you know? Mm-hmm. So when you play somebody, you're not playing you're playing against custom built characters.
Yeah.
So this sounds kind of like you build up your character in one of the game modes and take it to the other game modes.
I don't think you build it. I don't know, but I don't think you build any sort of advantage in another game mode. The other game modes are, so they have like an 8v8, which is supposed to be more focused on gathering the resources and like a long, slow fight to victory that's like drags out over a period of time. Their Battle Royale mode, which they expect to be the most popular one, has an interesting twist on it. So it is 8 or 16 teams of two or 8 teams of two. So 16 people, 8 teams of two, but you can break and form alliances in the game.
Mm.
So you can say, you know what? Done with this dude. Grouping up with this guy.
Oh,
you can do it in the middle of fights even. And until you get to the last three characters and then it's a free-for-all.
And it's got to be, man, that's got to be odd, huh? Like, if somebody gets knocked down, let's say, you just switch to the other guy who knocked him down, if he wants to, and you just kill your former partner?
I believe so.
That's fucking hardcore, man.
There's some really good videos. IGN has a great video just with a lot of gameplay footage and outlining everything about this game. It is, it could be a big hit, like, if they pull it off well. This has a lot of interesting ideas at play, and they're combining a lot of popular things from a lot of popular genres. I'm really interested to see, like, this mesh between a battle royale and a MOBA. Like, that's pretty interesting.
The free-to-play aspect is a little scary. That, you know, they got
all these games are free-to-play, though.
They got to make their money somewhere. So,
well, I mean, that's not pay to win. That's the model. You get a huge player base, and then you sell battle passes or XP. Yeah. Pay to win has not really been a thing recently. The last game that I really remember having a huge problem with was Loadout. Remember that game?
Yeah.
I mean, that got pay to win. That game was so much fun when it first came out, but then when everyone started spending money, it immediately dropped off for me. It's not even on Steam anymore.
There it is. It came out. It's one word, I think.
Yeah, one Loadout Hard Bro Pack, Loadout the Absolute Best. I don't know. If I load this, maybe I can get to the actual game. But yeah, but you don't see that, especially in a game this big that's really trying to... Yeah, there it is.
Loadout was fun, man.
Loadout was a good time for a while until the pay to win ruined it.
Yeah.
But yeah, so this game that we're talking about, Crucible, very short name. I think there's a lot of potential here.
It looks great, man. The graphics, not just the graphics, but the art style. I'm digging it.
Yeah.
Very alien.
And I think Amazon, they're getting serious. This is PC only, by the way, for now. But they're getting really serious about game development with this and New World. I remember when they started their game development studios, and made mobile games for a while.
Didn't Evan Lottie go to...
Yeah, he left PC Gamer, had a job with them for a minute. Didn't last very long. He came back to PC Gamer. Yeah. But I don't know. I'd be willing to check this out. It seems like a game, you know, one of those games that you'd have to spend a lot of time and, you know, just focus on to get any good at. So I probably wouldn't spend too much time with it, but...
But it's interesting. Well, yeah. Well, I guess we'll see how it goes. And coming out pretty soon, right? About like 15...
May 20th.
Yeah.
May 20th, this game's coming out.
Where are we at today? 8th, 9th, 10th?
I believe it's the 10th today. Yeah. So, yeah, dude, Crucible. All right. Next game on the radar is Cannibal Cuisine.
That sounds gross.
Yep. It is. If you look at this game, it looks like a straight-up knockoff of Overcooked.
Overcooked, yeah.
Very similar. But there's actually some combat to this game. I watched some of the gameplay. You actually have to go out and you have to chop people up to get that meat for your kitchen.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, but even the progress and health bars look just like Overcooked, the characters. Yeah,
everything does. Yeah. No reviews yet, huh?
Well, this game is not out yet. You can get the demo. This is also being released May 20th. The demo is available right now. And
that's a tough call. Crucible or
Cannibal Cuisine. Yeah. Yeah, that's tough. I don't know. That's an interesting idea, but it looks a little too similar. I'm sure it could just be superficial. You play the game and, it's actually very different, but I don't know.
Well, it just seems like it adds killing, harvesting of the meat before you cook it somehow.
Yeah. Oh, there's a little game where something's rolling at them and they have to like run across the area to avoid it. I don't know. There could be more mechanics in it.
How did somebody else put this up?
This was on PC Gamer's website. We just leech off of them, basically.
Yeah. Yeah. We're basically a silent partner.
Yeah. Okay.
That they haven't agreed to.
Yep. It was a unilateral decision. All right. This last game here is Dolores, a Thimbleweed mini park or mini adventure. This is a free game.
Thimbleweed Park.
A Thimbleweed Park mini adventure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said Thimble Park. I don't know.
Oh, weird.
Bobby, so to put some context, Bobby gave Thimbleweed Park Game of the Year last year?
2017 is when it came out. Yeah, I absolutely loved Thimbleweed Park.
Yeah.
It was a modern day point and click adventure that was probably, it might be the best point and click adventure I've ever played, mm-hmm. honestly.
You're saying a lot.
Yeah, I think they did. And it just kind of showed to me that, hey, this is still a viable genre. You can still make new games.
And you said it was like Twin Peaks?
Yeah, you know, it takes place in the 80s and it's very like mysterious and there's a lot of strange things going on, but, you know, not outright crazy. The ending was great. Loved
40
that.
Reviews. Jeez, nobody picked this up on Steam.
Well, this is for Dolores, the Thimbleweed Park.
Oh, right. My bad.
Yeah. By the way, Thimbleweed Park is on sale for $8 right now. That's a deal. But, you know, hopefully you got it for free on Epic Game Store when it was free there. But this mini adventure, so Ron Gilbert was working on a new engine for point-and-click adventure games. Ron Gilbert being the guy who made the original Thimbleweed Park and also, you know, part of the old LucasArts games, the classic 90s point-and-clicks. But he's working on a new engine, and this was more of a way to test it. And it kind of developed into like its own little thing, not enough to be its own like standalone game worth charging money for, but, you know, still good enough to put out there. So this is almost just like a tool that he developed to test his new engine.
Where in the story does Dolores come in? Like, how big of a character is she in the regular game?
Not a very big character.
Okay. But yeah. A likable character?
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. I believe she works at the news. The Nickel News, yeah, and was a photographer. So I imagine this is very short. It's free. If you're like me and you love Thimbleweed Park, then this is a great way to revisit that. Thimbleweed Park, when I played it, I was like, 100%, I'm going to play this game again. But it's a point-and-click adventure. You solve the puzzles. You know the answers. Yeah, you have to give it time. Yeah. You have to give it time.
And there's probably not branching paths, most likely.
There is, actually. That's what's great about Thimbleweed Park is you can have a very different experience. For instance, I went one route and made certain decisions, and then I missed, like, you know, that changed my story compared to someone else who may have, like, discovered another area or had different interactions with people. It does branch a little bit.
Hey, Bobby, so we still haven't played our Game of the Month this yet, so let's... This week, do you want to knock out Kentucky Route Zero, or at least start it, and have that be our game for this month that we both play?
Yeah, we could do that. Kentucky Route Zero.
Does either one of us own it?
I do.
Okay.
Yeah, I have it.
So, how do you own the whole thing? So you bought it, and then the episodes that came out were already included?
Part of the game. I don't think they had, like, separate episodes for Kentucky Route Zero.
Is it? You know what I'm saying? Did you buy, like, the episodes that were already out?
I don't think there are episodes. I think it's one single game.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's just one game here.
And you just never got around to playing it.
Yeah, they just sell for $25 all 5 episodes of Kentucky Route Zero.
Okay. Sounds good. So they are episodes.
And if you bought it at any point in time, then you got the other episodes for free.
Okay, gotcha. Yeah, we'll do that then.
Okay. Kentucky Route Zero it is.
Kurt the Ape says he got stuck and couldn't finish it, but...
Yeah, just got to look it up, man. If you get stuck, just look it up. Don't be a hero. All right. That's it for On the Radar. Let's talk a little news here. Let's see what's going on in the news. Not too much. I'll start with this one here. There's some news with Apex Legends. Their 5th season is coming up. This one is going to add PvE. And the way that they describe the PvE in this almost sounds like Deep Rock Galactic in a way, although I'm sure it's going to be very different. You go into an area, you have to go grab some resource, like a lost artifact. You have to fight your way to it. You grab it, and then you run back to some sort of extraction point.
Sounds fun.
Yeah, and I think it's really good to add PvE content to games like this. I think that's huge. You got to shake it up a little bit, man.
Yeah.
Like, you got to have a little something else in there just so people can kind of... You know, because people will get sick of one mode after a while.
A new hot chick is coming in?
I don't know if that's a new player. I haven't played Apex Legends in quite a long time.
Well, every season usually comes with a new person.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, this is cool. I'm glad. And then it's free to check out, so even better.
Yeah, I don't know if you... Well, I'm sure they have like a battle pass or a season pass or something, but I think all this is just going to be part of it.
Yeah. I wonder if it's going to have like loot. But that loot that you could only, like, use in the PvE, you know, upgrading your character, progression of some sort. Obviously, that would give you an unfair advantage in the regular game, but hopefully they have some sort of progression. I would imagine so. Like, why else would you be doing it?
Yeah. I don't know what the lost artifacts do. I read the article. I looked up some other stuff. I couldn't figure out exactly what the lost artifact does. Maybe that's, like, common knowledge people already know. But All right. Next article. Somebody posted this in Discord, and I thought it was a great article, and I wanted to talk about it. The title, it's from PC Gamer. The title is Gears Tactics has the best graphics option menus I've ever seen, and every game should copy them. This is by Tom Sr., by the way, with PC Gamer. And I feel like I've had this conversation before. I've come across these graphics menus, and it's a pet peeve. It's a pet peeve. I'm very sensitive about graphics menus in games because I find them kind of poorly drawn out. Because you go in there and you're like, I've got a really fast graphics card. I want to set everything to high. You go in there, you set it to high, and then you have to keep clicking to the right because maybe there's like a very high and then an ultra.
Yeah.
And you don't know what is the top that I can set it to. And then it's also very ambiguous. A lot of people don't really know what they're getting when they're changing these graphics settings.
That's why, like, when you were doing your thing on what each setting means, that was a great little bit. We enjoyed that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And most PC gamers know what that stuff does at this point, but still, every game makes up their own rules about it, so it's all very different. So what Gears of War or Gears Tactics does is, first of all, they give you notched sliders. You can right away see where the highest setting is. So you can click and drag a marker across a slider and set it all the way to the right if you want to turn it up all the way up. You know, if you want to turn it all the way down, you drag it all the way to the left. You know, you don't have to click through.
Wait, I'm totally confused here.
You don't have to click through each setting.
It's like an audio setting.
Yeah. It's like, turning up the volume on YouTube, basically.
Right.
The other thing that they do is when you make these changes, it has a little video playing in the side that shows you what that change actually did. So you can see right there the change that was made, which I think is fantastic. It also gives you information. This is becoming a little more common when I'm happy about it, but it gives you information about what kind of load you're putting on your graphics card or CPU. And that's something that I first noticed, I think, in like Grand Theft Auto 5, where it says, okay, this is how much memory your video card has. And if you use this setting, it's going to use up this much more memory. So it gives you an idea of, like, kind of benchmarks a little bit what you're doing to your computer. So yeah, that's fantastic. I wanted to give this a little more, a little bit of a bump here, because this is absolutely the direction that people need to be headed. Like, there's absolutely no reason that we should be sticking to this stupid archaic way of adjusting our graphics settings.
And it's a little more, I mean, this takes, I can see how this could be a little more work doing something like this.
Yeah.
But like the UI, that's the same thing. Just pick a game that has a great UI and just fucking do that. Don't try to reinvent the wheel.
Yeah.
These are things that you want to be fucking clever, come up with the new mechanic, come up with the new genre. Don't come up with the new UI or new graphics settings. That's not where we need you to be inventive.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We're talking to all you devs, you motherfuckers.
I mean, it depends on the game as well. You know, if you've got a really small game, like Unity games, you always see, if you play like a game that was built on Unity, you almost always see that little box come up first and it says, do you want this to be like, you know, windowed or not windowed? Maybe you get to choose your resolution, and then graphics settings is always like low, medium, high, fantastic or something. You know, like if it's a small game, that's acceptable. But, you know, AAA games, come on, guys, get it together.
Get it together.
All right. Time for listener questions. Unless I'm going to eat this. I thought we were going to do a thing where I was going to try some Mexican candy here.
Oh, yeah. So we have a new segment called Bobby Tries a Mexican. Not me or a woman. It's Mexican candy. So today he's trying Lucas Muercas. Sam kept saying it weird. I guess it means like a hit or a slap. Or a cachetada, which means like a slap in the face. So just explain your experience so far, Bobby.
All right. Well, I'm looking at the packaging of it. There's an anthropomorphic duck sticking his tongue out at me.
Warning. Don't open it too vigorously, because I did that and I spilled a bunch of stuff everywhere.
Is this
everywhere.
Powder in here? What is
this? There's powder in there. Okay. But there's also... Yeah, open it slowly, I would say.
Okay. So opening it slowly, I'm...
There you go.
Oh, I see. So it's like
It's like a ring pop.
Yeah, with a powder that you dip into it.
Right.
What were those things you used to get where they had like the little stick that you'd stick into the powder. And
yeah, it was a big, no, not Big Lick Chew. I forget. But anyway, so what you want to do here is you want to lick it first, suck on the candy part so it gets sticky. And then you put it back in there, and then you shake it up, like close it completely.
Yeah.
And then shake it up.
I see. I can already tell you I do not like this. This, this tastes like Tijuana.
Fun dip.
Is this candy?
Yeah. It is candy. So what are the flavors that you're experiencing?
It's spicy.
So yeah, got to get used to that, dude. That's just...
It's just all about spicy candy.
A lot of them, yeah. Spicy, okay. Super, yeah, mostly spicy.
Yeah, I've tasted this flavor before. It's like...
Is it growing on you?
No. I mean, it is like a lollipop, but like, I don't know.
My experience was that it would get too much of the powder per, like, it's too much. Mm-hmm. Like, I would just a little bit of the powder and the lollipop would be good.
Yeah, now I have cotton mouth.
Yeah.
It's drying out my mouth. You guys got some weird stuff down there.
So on a 1 to 10, you're going to give it a what?
I don't know. Like on a 1 to 10, this is not candy, dude.
This is definitely candy. This is Mexican candy.
Okay. For candy, I'd give it like a 3.
Okay.
But
as a what? What do I say? What other category are you going to put it in? Because the lollipop part is pretty good, I feel.
Yeah, the powder's not great. The lollipop tastes like a very muted mango. Mm-hmm. I can barely taste the mango there. This is, I don't know. Is there some paprika in here? What's...
I don't know, dude.
Paprika? This is wild. I mean, I'm probably going to keep eating it, but...
Yeah, you're saying that you hate it, but you won't stop eating it. I'm secretly thinking you love it. You want to raise that up to a 4, Bobby?
If you told me this wasn't candy...
Why is the category...
Candy is supposed to be sweet.
Well, maybe just throw that out of the window, because nothing I'm going to give you is sweet.
Yeah.
In the coming weeks.
All right.
Okay, this treat? As a treat, where would you rate it?
It's like a punishment. It is so like spicy though. It's like I don't know much about food, so I'm struggling to find the words to describe it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Are you gonna be taking that home with you?
Yeah, maybe I will. I don't know.
All right. Well, there you go. It's called a, what the fuck was it called?
Muercas.
Muercas. Yeah. So there you go.
Wild.
Tastes like burning. There you go.
Okay. First listener question is coming from Papa Bear Don't Care. How do you feel about this possible new anti-cheat method brought up on the Full Nerd podcast? Cheaters aren't banned. Instead, after being caught cheating, a player is sent to servers only filled with other cheaters.
I mean, it's great in concept, right? But it's the same thing that everybody else is going to do. They're going to start a new account and just go back with the regular people.
I think I have heartburn. From candy. But I feel like this has been done before. Hasn't this been... I know this has. I could have swore I saw like an article about it years ago or something.
Yeah, I don't remember.
I feel like it's been tried. But it just seems like they're trying to be a little too creative with the punishment. It seems like it's putting more work.
Because it's not like they're going to stay there. They're just going to move on to another game, make a new account, or buy a replica of the game. And start a new account.
Well, when I played Jedi Knight, Dark Forces 2, on the MSN Gaming Zone in, the 90s, somebody would have a room, and they would host a game, and they'd say, look, this is a hacks game. Or, they would also have, like, NH. NH meant no hacks.
Oh, right.
Hacks not allowed. But if you went onto a game where it said, like, hey, we're going to be messing around, man. You're going to go in there. You're going to see some crazy stuff. You know, make sure you got God mode enabled or whatever. Then I think that's okay. So maybe it's not so much as like, this is the solution to the problem, but maybe something as a preventative method, like give people who want to cheat, like an area where they can do that. But, then again, you have a lot of cheaters who just want to pick on people, right? Yeah. Like they just want to go in and be godlike because they may not have a whole lot going on.
Dude, I saw a person like cheating. They put it up on YouTube. How would it look like on PUBG cheating with whatever app they were using? It was absolutely ridiculous, dude. He put himself on the top of a mountain and then he just saw health bars. And then if he moved his cursor to a health bar, he would just shoot once and it was the health bar was gone and he would just move to another one. And he must have got 30 kills in about 2 minutes. Wow. It's just ridiculous. Yeah. Through walls, doesn't matter. There was no line of sight. It was just like God. Because it's really fun. I don't know.
For some people.
Yeah.
All right. Next question from Sniper. It says, Emilio, which of Bobby's pizzas is most impressive? And he's linked the pizza screenshot collection I have on Imgur. I'll find a way to link this in the description so you can see it. This is on my Twitch page. And
wouldn't that work? Just that, yeah, right there?
Yeah, this link right here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've gone through this before. Whenever I get sad or lonely, I go and visit Bobby's Pizza Museum. I really like, you're going to say it's funny because it's the second one, but I really like the Grand Theft Auto one. I think that just the way the framing was, and he's the kind of, it almost looks like he's looking up admiring the pizza. It's just a really nice shot.
That's from Grand Theft Auto Vice City. Yeah, and the cool thing about this screenshot collection is this is in chronological order. The only one before that, so this is Grand Theft Auto Vice City 2002. The only one before that is Commander Keen in 1990.
Oh, so it's when the game was released.
Not when you took it. Not when I took it, okay. Correct. And I've got a few new additions to this. There's actually one in Stardew Valley that I need to add. I think my most recent addition was, I can't remember. It's a game that I had been playing recently.
Now, Bobby, I have a question. Oh, there's Divinity?
The first Divinity. I added the second Divinity. Sniper's actually in that picture.
Oh.
Yeah, we posed for that. I always really enjoyed this one, the Life is Strange one. You drive by on a bus, and I had to catch it because you're driving by on a bus and you're listening to some song, and then you drive past a building that has a slice of pizza on it. So I had to be quick on the trigger. Oh, this one is new. The Black Mesa has pizza at the end. But, yeah, I got to find the one that Sniper's in now that I've mentioned it.
Now, Bobby, I have a question.
Oh, there's Thimbleweed Park. And Dolores in Thimbleweed Park.
There you go. People. She's famous now.
Yeah.
Have you heard? Bobby, if people were to start sending you pictures of, is that okay? Or?
No. I mean, if you want to tell me like, hey, pizza's in this game, then maybe I'll go play that game and get the screenshot. But
there you go.
This is my journey, folks. Okay, here we go. This is me and Sniper playing Divinity Original Sin 2.
Who's the tall guy?
Oh, that's me. I'm the elf. Sniper's the dwarf. Dude,
you're decked out.
Yeah, I'm pretty fancy there.
Yeah. Like
the branch people. But yeah, that's us hanging out next to a nice fresh pepperoni pizza.
Doesn't look delicious.
I'll tell you what, though. Pepperoni pizza is
quintessential.
Anytime you see a screenshot or any of these screenshots that I have, or anytime you see pizza in a video game, it's always pepperoni.
Because it gives even at low res, you can tell what it is.
Exactly. Yeah. You got to have the pepperoni in there so you realize, oh, that's pizza. Yeah. Otherwise, it looks like a weird slice yellow of triangle.
Yeah.
Toe jam and Earl pepperoni pizza. Ooh, man, this one from World War Z.
High res pizza.
Yeah.
Right here.
This one from World War Z has the works, man. That's got some everything on it.
Yeah.
Of course, that's like Russian pizza, so I don't know how they do it over there. But yeah, most of these are pepperoni. I'd say like 80% of them pepperoni.
Yeah.
All right. Next question coming from Neo Reloaded. Where do you guys see the podcast heading in years to come? With Emilio pushing 50 and the dad jokes becoming more and more common, do you see a younger caster also being brought in at some point to bring in a younger audience?
Dude, you haven't seen me grooming Mila to be a fucking master podcaster? She's walking around with a microphone all day, every day. No, I don't know.
That is a good question, though, because we are getting older and our tastes are definitely leaning towards one side, but I don't know if I could stand like some young kid coming up in here and be like, Hey, you know, with the whole YouTube thing. Like, I think I would like,
make sure to like and subscribe.
Yeah, dude, smash that like button. Just, I don't know.
Even my Fuck yeah. Even my reference for like a young energetic guy is like a dated radio dude. You know what I mean? But everybody that we have on is younger than us. So like eventually, if and when we have people to fill these microphones, they're going to be younger. Like Exuberant, mm-hmm. he was like 30.
Yeah, he was.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, you can't tell with black people a lot of times. Black don't crack.
So. Yeah, they age very well. I think, I don't know, maybe 30 would be the, I don't like to use age because I know some like 35-year-old people who aren't very mature, and I know some like 25-year-old right. people who are very mature. So it's like, you can't go by that. But yeah, I mean, I think it's reflected in the content that we cover. We don't talk a lot about a lot of the things that appeal to the younger audience. We don't really talk much about Minecraft or Fortnite or, right. you know, those types of games. And
our audience is dying with us, dude.
I don't know. I don't know. But then again, I don't think podcasts are for younger people. I don't think a lot of younger people listen to podcasts. Yeah.
They don't have the time, man. They're too busy fucking.
Yeah. Too busy talking. Not enough listening.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. Like, we definitely want to, like, cater to as big of an audience as possible, but I think there's a few things where we feel like we don't want to compromise, and I think one of those is, like, being those hyperactive YouTube personality types, you know?
Well, there's, we're both children of the 80s and still gamers now, and there's millions of those.
Mm-hmm.
We just got to call them up on the phone one by one and tell them to start listening.
Yeah. Yeah, dude. And if we're doing this while we're 60, man, we'll be a podcast for 60-year-old gamers, dude. That's the way.
Check. Oh, dude, I almost want to pull this up right now just so everybody knows. I put it on the Hangout. It's fucking Jamie Foxx doing impressions. Like over video chat? Oh, he put it in
Discord, yeah.
Did you see it?
Yeah, he's pretty good.
He's pretty fucking good, man.
He did Dave Chappelle. He did...
He's so talented, man. Yeah. It's incredible. Look it up. Just put fucking Jamie Foxx. It's on TMZ.
Yeah. All right, last question from Days. The world and all of existence is binary code in its most simple form. Are you a one or a zero?
I'm one because I'm first.
Well, zero technically comes before one.
Go fuck off, man.
But I mean, I think we'd all like to be ones because zero is like, you know, one is on, zero is off.
Right.
You know? Plus one's thinner. I think I'm a one. You're looking like a zero.
In multiple facets. What else did I want to say? Just some Netflix things for you. Last Kingdom. I finished season one today. Fucking love it, man. It's really good. Like I said, I like simple stories. Every episode was good. Started the first episode of season two. I felt like it was a little cheesy, but we're there. Mm-hmm. And don't look for high budget. Like, you can definitely tell they're saving money, but everything else is there. And everybody I talk about it who's seen it, they really like it. So, Last Kingdom on Netflix. And what was it? There was one other thing I wanted to recommend. I can't think of it.
Well, that new show by Justin Roiland came out that looks very much like Rick and Morty, Solar Opposites.
Oh, is that the one on Netflix?
It's on Hulu, actually.
Solar Opposites. Because there's one on Netflix that looks like a ripoff of Rick and Morty.
No, I'm not familiar with that. No, Solar Opposites has been advertised for a while. It's Justin Roiland who does a lot of the voices. It looks very similar to Rick and Morty. It's kind of in the same vein with the humor, but it's a little different. I enjoyed it. It's like 8 episodes on Hulu. It's definitely worth checking out.
Interesting.
Yeah.
I don't know. I forgot what I was going to say. So next week, I guess we're going to play Kentucky Route Zero, huh?
I am probably going to play... Well, first of all, Deep Rock Galactic comes out May 13th, 1.0 launch. I'm going to have to check that out, right? Like, I don't expect too much of a change to the core gameplay. I had an interesting situation this week with Deep Rock Galactic. So Thursday morning, everything resets. I'm going to do my usual quests, right? Yeah, like the usual weekly quests and everything. And I get into this group with these people, and they both say they're streaming. So I'm like, cool, I'll check out their stream. And then this one dude proceeds to shit talk me the entire game on his stream.
Man, wow.
It was so, I haven't had that experience since Heroes of the Storm.
Wow.
It brought back some
like memories. Oh, look at this guy. He doesn't know what he's doing.
Yeah, exactly.
Did you know what you were doing?
I wasn't playing very well, but it was some of the things that he was complaining about. I think I just kind of became the guy to blame stuff.
Oh, right.
In a way. And did
you not succeed?
No. We failed our deep dive. So I think it was even on the third mission we failed as well. And
if you failed and you weren't playing at your best, maybe
it's,
you were.
It's a cooperative effort.
Okay.
Yeah. So so a big thing about Deep Rock Galactic is bunkering, and people have different opinions on when is bunkering okay and when not. It's when you're the driller and you drill just straight into a wall or to the ground and you carve out a place and you just hold up in there and you let the enemies flow in and you kill them.
Right.
Now, if a detonator comes along, then you're screwed. You know, you're all going to die. So a lot of people don't really like that, especially when you have to do those missions where you defend it in that area, that little green globe that you have to stay inside of. But we had a MacTerra swarm that kept coming in, the flying creatures, and that's a great defense against them. So I was using that to try to counter that, and they were not a fan of it. But I actually felt kind of shitty when that happened. I'm just like, man, like, really, dude? Really?
Because it worked, right?
Well, not during that playthrough. But I felt vindicated because I left that group and I was like, all right, whatever. Grouped up with some other guys. Oh, by the way, these guys that were shit talking me, they had 800 or 900 hours in the game. Mm. So they were pretty good players, but I'm kind of the opinion with Deep Rock Galactic, it doesn't really matter, dude. Like some people try to like figure out a meta in that game. And I'm just like, dude, it doesn't really matter. Like, it's not like you got to be using this weapon and you got to be playing this way. I've seen so many different weapons work. I've seen so many different play styles work. Like, it's not like a MOBA, you know? but anyway, so I left that game. I joined another game with some other people who weren't really they weren't very good. Like, they weren't as good as these guys, that's for sure. And we beat it. So I was just like, well, maybe I wasn't the problem.
Yeah, there you go.
Or maybe I was. I don't know.
I don't know. I wasn't there.
Yeah.
If I was there, we would have lost for sure.
Yeah. But yeah, next week, I think I honestly want to check out Battlefront 2. Like, I think I'm going to pick that up. $6. I'm on a Star Wars kick right now. I'm kind of in the mood for something a little more modern. I did a lot of retro this week.
Yeah, I'd jump in for some games of that for sure. I mean, you know, it's running around shooting people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, but it looks phenomenal.
Yeah, it looks fantastic, and it's just, sometimes you want a game where you just run around and shoot people.
Yeah, for sure.
Sometimes you want that.
Yep.
You know what we need to do, though, and I'll send this out to, like, anybody listening as well. We need some people to help with Deep Rock Galactic, because we've got to get footage for a project that we're working on, and I'm about halfway done with it, and I feel like it's kind of come to a standstill, because we have not been able to get, like, three people online to help me out with this, and getting a few specific shots in that game. So if you're out there and you're willing, message me and I'll carry you through some Deep Rock levels too.
I got time tonight.
Tonight? Okay. Yep. We'll see what Sniper's doing.
Yeah.
All right. So yeah, probably Battlefront 2 and Deep Rock for me next week.
All right. Cool. Shit on my whole Kentucky Route Zero thing.
We got the rest of the month for that.
Yeah. About half the month. All right. I'm looking at the screen to figure out what kind of titties I'm going to have. Kentucky Route titties. Bye, everybody. Pandemic's down, it looks like.
Cool.
Bye, buddy.